Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
The vaccine mandates that were rolled back for school children. What do you think about that?
Well, I think we have to be very careful. Look, you have some vaccines that are so amazing. The polio vaccine, I happen to think, is amazing. A lot of people think that COVID is amazing. You know, there are many people that believe strongly in that. But you have some vaccines that are so incredible. And I think you have to be very careful when you say that some people don't have to be vaccinated. It's a very, you know, it's a very tough position.
Look at Trump being all pragmatic and moderate and traditional and telling Joe Latipo and Governor DeSantis, hey, guys, too far. Too far.
Just initially, I heard about it yesterday, and it's a tough stance. Look, you have vaccines that work. They just pure and simple work. They're not controversial at all. And I think those vaccines should be used. Otherwise, some people are going to catch it, and they endanger other people. And when you don't have controversy at all, I think people should take it.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. But for Joe Latipo, yesterday on CNN's State of the Union, it was, he thought, uncontroversial that they should not be mandated, that school children should not have to get vaccines because nobody but the parents should be deciding what goes into a kid's body, as he said.
Yeah, I trust parents. I believe parents can make good decisions for their children. They get good information. And Jake, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'll add one more thing, which is this idea of informed consent. So you can't, you know, you may have, I'm not sure if you have a legal background, but in medical ethics, you cannot obtain informed consent for a medical treatment if there's coercion. And a mandate is coercion because right. A mandate indicates that if you don't comply, there's a punishment or some negative adverse effect.
Doc, I want to
say you cannot obtain informed consent, which means you cannot provide ethical practice. So the vaccine mandates absolutely positively should not be something that is part of our society.
And by the way, I mean, he's right in that level of analysis. He's right that informed consent, you know, the whole premise of requiring consent is exactly the idea that, you know, you have to understand, you have to have the ability to say no. I mean, it's not consent if it's mandatory. But that begs the question of whether there are ever circumstances where you don't honor consent. Now, it's easy to understand that we don't honor consent in the positive action sense. Right. If somebody wants to consent to sell themselves into slavery or for sex or, well, at least so far in the United States to sell themselves into sex. But, you know, we'll see in 10 years or sell body parts. You know, we don't allow those things. Now, I know it's not the same as refusing to consent to have something put in your body, but we do not allow people to consent to have other things done to their body, whether for money or at all. You know, taking of recreational drugs is heavily limited. But also when it comes to kids, it's this notion that there's this unlimited parental right to control what goes into or does not go into kids' bodies is just false. You know, you can be charged with neglect for failing to give them basic nutrition or failing to provide for them adequate care, reckless endangerment, okay? But at the same time, and also, you can't poison a kid. I mean, that's still illegal. So it's not true that parents can do whatever they want to put into or not put into their kids' bodies. They're obligated to be good stewards. And so there are limits to that. And who's going to limit that? Well, the parent can't be self-limiting without any restrictions. That's why you have a state that's going to say, well, up to this point, but not any farther past this point. And he keeps saying this about parents' rights being absolute, and they're not absolute. They're balanced against a lot of other factors. But put that aside. Put aside the question of informed consent. Put aside the question of parental rights, which, you know, for the moment, the bare bones minimum to bring forward this proposal, Dr. Latipo did not do.
Did your department do any data analysis? Did you do any data projection of how many new cases of these diseases there will be in Florida once you remove vaccine mandates?
Absolutely. So absolutely not, because it's not a, you know, you mentioned whooping cough there. So there's this conflation of the science and sort of what is the right and wrong thing to do. So scientifically, you mentioned whooping cough. So that's an example. This is part of the issue with informed consent. That's an example of a vaccine that is ineffective. The data show that it's ineffective at preventing transmission. So sort of mandates with that really don't have anything to do with the notion of transmission. And then in terms of, you know, like analysis, well, ultimately, this is an issue very clearly of parents' rights. So do I need to analyze whether it's appropriate for parents to be able to decide what goes into their children's bodies? I don't need to do an analysis on that.
I don't need to do an analysis on that. No. Because no right is absolute, you exactly do need to do an analysis on that. And also the philosophical conviction you have that parents' rights are absolute is exactly that. It's a philosophical conviction. That's not a health data conclusion. That's not science. And though I agree with you that parents' rights are very, very robust, it's not the place of the practitioner for public health for the entire state of Florida to make that decision. If anything, it'd be the governor to balance the concerns of public health off against the issue of parents' rights. It's really not for the state surgeon general to make that decision, and certainly not for the state surgeon general to make it without any analysis at all, with no facts, no data, no how many people are going to die, how many people are going to get a disease, whatever our best, you know, what's the level of herd immunity that we're going to lose if we do this? Are we going to run the risk of bringing back defeated diseases like, you know, measles or polio, or, you know, whooping cough is not a defeated disease, but, you know, does it have an effect? Does it have a value? Anyway, the fact that he didn't do any analysis is an abdication of duty, a dereliction of duty, a kind of neglect by him. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10 eastbound right around the Highway 29 exit. Starting to see a little bit of backup through that construction zone. Also, Avalon Boulevard southbound as you approach I-10, seeing some delays there just due to congestion traffic. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Joe Latipo's answers. Dr. Joe Latipo, the Surgeon General for the state of Florida, answers to State of the Union's Jake Tapper yesterday on CNN, because Jake was just baffled, as am I. Yeah, I was really going into this interview hoping that Latipo would persuade me, clarify, you know, bring things to the table that I had not considered. And he did. But I don't, the stuff that he brought, I didn't think was powerful as he thinks. But more, he brought, like, what are you talking about? You didn't do any analysis? There's no new research to indicate the inefficacy of these vaccines, especially the most basic ones, you know, the ones we've had for decades. I understand the more recent ones and some controversy around them and questions about their efficacy. Okay, fine, we can have that conversation. But you're just against all vaccines, and it's purely ideological. It's not even based on any data.
So you're trying to lift the vaccine mandate in Florida, and your department and you did not even do a projection as to how this could impact public health. So you have not prepared hospitals in the Florida counties most at risk with the best treatments for any outbreaks of measles, mumps, rubella, whooping cough, polio, and you have not looked into how many kids might now get these preventable diseases? That's what you're saying?
No, that's what you said. What I'm saying is that it's an issue of right and wrong in terms of whether parents should be able to control, have ultimate authority over what happens to their kids' bodies.
Well, that is what he said, but he's inferring from what you've said that you didn't do any of those things and didn't bring that data to bear, even on informing, let's say, the governor on what this might mean. I mean, this is weird. I mean, it's really, really weird. So he says, look, you know, I'm used to doing what's right, not what's popular. I respect that. But also, your job is not to do what's philosophically clear to you. Your job is to do what is statistically or scientifically justified, or at least to bring that into the conversation. And this repeated parents have unconditional rights about their kids is just false.
So that's an issue. And parents have every ability, right? We're not taking vaccines away. They have the ability to consider those things when they make decisions about their child. But their ability to consider those things cannot be usurped by someone else. They are the ultimate arbiters of what happens with their children. That's how it should be. And that's why my position will never change, because that will always be true. It will always be true that parents should be able to decide what goes on, what goes into their kids' bodies. I mean, it's not complex at all.
It's actually a lot more complicated than that, because we have all kinds of things we do not let parents do to their kids. We have other things that we require them to do for their children. And both of those indicate that parents' rights are simply not absolute the way you're talking about it. But also this refusal to do any projections, to even ask what is the cost of staking everything on this philosophical conviction that parents' rights are absolute.
Did you vaccinate your kids?
Just, Jake,
your kids
really briefly, I'll just say one other thing. Jake, just really briefly, one other thing. Again, this whole, oh, Florida hasn't done any analysis, that's nonsense.
You said you hadn't done any projection.
We don't need to do... The way you're portraying it is nonsense. We don't need to do any projections. We handle outbreaks all the time. So there's nothing special that we would need to do.
We handle outbreaks all the time. We don't need to know what this new first-in-the-nation policy will cost us, cause us, infect us with. I mean, we don't need... Good Lord. Just like I said, I like Joe Latipo historically, but this was... colossally bad. Meanwhile, CNN had on Paul Offit, who's a member of the FDA Vaccine Advisory Committee, and he had some thoughts.
He's confusing two things. First of all, Florida has a religious exemption to vaccination. If you don't want to be vaccinated in Florida, all you have to do is fill out a one-page form.
Correct.
When he's talking about eliminating mandates, he's talking about eliminating one of the two most important weapons he has during an outbreak, which is mandates and quarantine. If there was an outbreak in a school, as there was last year in a Catholic school in Florida, if you're not going to mandate vaccines, if you're going to say you can come into this school even if you're not vaccinated, he is going to have a very hard time controlling those outbreaks. I mean, school entrance requirements have been on the books for decades, but in the 1970s, they weren't enforced. And so you had these massive outbreaks in Los Angeles, Detroit, Alaska. And it wasn't until you had school entry requirements, mandates, before you got on top of that. And as you know, as a Philadelphian, in 1990 to 1991, we had a massive outbreak in Philadelphia, 1,400 cases, 9 deaths. It wasn't until we mandated vaccines for school entry which allowed us to stop those epidemics.
They are a vital public health tool. And again, not for necessarily all vaccines. Should we be having the conversation about which ones yes, which ones no? Sure. But also, we're going to allow people to opt out, as we should, because religion and philosophical conviction by parents is a very high value, and we do allow that. We still don't allow religious conviction to guide everything. I mean, this is a horrible example, but you'll understand that it's true, is if your religious conviction tells you that you need to, you know, make your child walk through fire and sacrifice them to Molech, you know, it's not allowed. There are limits even to that, to what religious conviction can allow you to do to or for or with your children. And so, again, it's just weird that Latipo doesn't seem to have any sense of there being balancing considerations or limits at all. Back to Paul Offit.
Yes, here's what upsets me the most. You have this tension between, on the one hand, public health and medical freedom. He is representing the medical freedom movement, which is to say, I'm going to do what's best for my child. I don't care about how that affects somebody else. Whereas in public health, you do care about the person next to you. And I think President Trump alluded to that. He has just seriously crippled his ability to get on top of epidemics should they occur. And given that attitude, I have no doubt they will occur.
Yeah, I agree. And also, by the way, the parental rights matter, medical rights matter, informed consent matters, religious rights matter. All the things that Joe Latipo is saying he believes in, I believe in. The problem is he seems to believe in them without limit. And there are very few, if any, rights that come with no limits whatsoever. That's the problem. That's where they've gone astray here. 722 here on News Radio 92.3. By the way, I am so sorry. The texting service that we use is not... Well, it's working intermittently. I got some text and I didn't get some text. I got some text. So if you're texting me and I'm not reading it on the air, it's not working at the moment. We're doing our best to get it fixed. This is not an easy thing to, you know, solve necessarily, but if you're frustrated, me too. So I'm sorry. If we're friends on Facebook, you can message me on Facebook, or I guess you could email me also if you wanted to email. Yeah, look at the old school technology.
Wow, I was like, whoa.
Or you could call in and tell John your comment, whatever. We can do a lot of different things. We can do the old school way. Anyway, Andrew at newsradio1620.com. That's the AM frequency for those of you who've only been listening to us on FM your whole life, which is fine. Anyway, 723 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
The first of the Ten Commandments says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." This commandment, found in Exodus 20, is startling to most Americans. Our culture has emphasized religious tolerance to an unbiblical and unhealthy extreme. No other gods means that there is only one true God. The implication is that not every religious road leads to heaven. The Bible presents us with one God whose name is Jehovah, and he is seen in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is a loving, holy, powerful God who is our provider, sustainer, creator, and savior. Isaiah tells us that he is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I urge you, take time to worship him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
In the world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand these complications and have your back. Join us this Wednesday at 10 o'clock on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us this Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 on News Radio 1620 92.3 FM.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, listen to this. All I needed was a new starter. Got a great deal on eBay. Did it myself.
Yeah, that's cool. But how about the soft purr of an upgraded exhaust when it fits just right?
For me, it's the little things. Like these new windshield wipers from eBay I installed. Small fixes to big upgrades. eBay has all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things people love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Boris the Blade?
Yeah.
As in Boris the Bullet Dodger.
Why do they call him the Bullet Dodger?
Because he dodges bullets heavy.
Good morning, 726 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I heard it.
Well, don't tell them.
Well, but
they'll
you
just be jealous
me.
They didn't hear my dulcet tones.
Well, that's okay.
Why don't you tell them about traffic on the 5, John?
All right. Well, no accidents to report to you right now. If you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, expect about a 10 to 12 minute congestion delay and construction delay. Also, Highway 29 southbound approaching 9 Mile Road is seeing about a 7 to 9 minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Because he dodges bullets, Effie. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The World Health Organization says there is a need to protect public health excellence at the U.S. CDC. In a post on X Sunday, the WHO director said, quote, "The work of the U.S. CDC has been invaluable and must be protected." His comments follow leadership changes at the CDC and concerns that some decisions by U.S. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. could put Americans' health at risk.
Wait, who said that?
The CDC, or the WHO director. I don't know. Somebody
Come
said
on!
It.
Who said it?
David. WHO.
David.
The WHO director.
The answer is exactly. Who said it? Exactly.
Ooh. Oh, I get it now. Ooh. Oh, my
Like I'm
goodness.
Dragging you all into my Abbott and Costello routine over here. Go on.
Who's on first?
No, that's a different joke.
Okay, well, I tried.
That's all I could think of, too. All right, President Trump says he wants foreign companies that... Wait, hold on, what?
You can't continue now, right?
President Trump wants foreign companies need to hire. Who wrote this?
Not
me.
You.
That's pretty obvious.
Who wrote this? No, the answer is.
Wait a minute. Play it out. Read it like it's written, and let's see if maybe they.
President Trump wants foreign companies need to hire and train American.
Keep reading.
American workers after a raid. I don't know what this is even saying.
Okay.
But Trump wrote Sunday.
Excellent news, sir. Excellent news.
Love it.
Social quote, I am hereby calling on all foreign companies investing in the United States to please respect our nation's immigration laws. There we go. Hey, how about a good story here?
Please.
Today is National Star Trek Day.
Today is a day to flash the Vulcan sign. That is, if Whoa. You can, there's a large number of people who can't because it requires specific manual dexterity to separate hand muscles to form a V pattern. Even some actors on the show couldn't do it. Actor Zachary Quinto used super glue to hold his fingers in position. So today, live long and prosper and flash that Vulcan salute as a nod to its creator, Leonard Nimoy. That is, if you can. I'm Bree Tennis.
As Ryan Jenkins says, use all
your fingers. Yes. That's where
Wait,
I was going.
Zachary Quinto, who played Spock, couldn't do the Vulcan hand signal?
That's interesting.
It's creepy. I don't know. That should have been disqualifying. Can you do it, David?
Show me. Not very well.
You can't,
no,
you can't do the,
I,
the V
I can't get it. I can't
John,
get
I can't
it.
See your hand over there.
Mine's deformed.
You look like.
Hey, easy. 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 Don't even. I tried.
Looks like your hand's having a stroke.
It was. It was like a special.
Really? David, you can't do it?
No, I got to kind of do that. Forward, backwards.
That's the same
thing
John
yeah.
has. I know. It's like they're not in a plane. They're kind of, you know, like they're askew a little bit.
I mean, I feel like you got to do some weird hand exercises to get that.
You
probably.
Do.
Well, yeah. if you're a devoted fan, then, you know,
You've
you learn
them.
How to do it. Yeah.
yeah.
Okay. All right. Flash that Vulcan V. Okay. It's not the expression I would have used, but fine, whatever. 7:30, I don't know where we're at exactly. Jimmy Patronus will be up next. We'll talk with him about, gosh, all kinds of things. You know, sending F-35s into Venezuela, bogus arrest warrant schemes by the FBI. What he thinks about calling it the Department of War. That's up next.
Gianna Gelosi. President Trump says he's going to decide in a day or two whether or not he'll send the National Guard to Chicago.
Chicago's Mayor Brandon Johnson has been adamant violent crime in the city is down. And indeed, stats from the Chicago Police Department show murder and robbery cases have dropped since 2021. But other crimes, like felony and misdemeanor thefts and motor vehicle thefts, are still up from 4 years ago.
That's Fox's Alexandria Hoff. A deadly attack at a bus stop in Jerusalem.
A terror shooting on a very crowded bus near Jerusalem has left 6 killed, 7 seriously wounded. The bus was apparently approaching a stop when the two gunmen let fire. Described by authorities as terrorists, they sprayed the bus with bullets. 5 men and a woman was killed. The two suspects were killed as well.
And that's Fox's Greg Palcott. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It is 66 and partly cloudy, an absolutely gorgeous morning. Of course, we'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Navarre marked its centennial Saturday with a Fun Fest celebration. Now, that event celebrated the town's history and vibrant future. There were vendors, live music, entertainment, food trucks. Local businesses, artists, and nonprofits were also out showcasing their products and services. Local leaders reflecting on the growth that the communities experienced. Chairman of the Navarre Centennial Celebration Committee, Frankie Gibbs, says the population has exploded from around 4,500 to nearly 40,000 in just the last 20 years. The centennial celebration's been ongoing since the New Year's firework display and turtle drop event. They held a public birthday party in March. In June, they held a formal gala-style event, and the centennial over the weekend, or the Fun Fest, that is, culminated that celebration. Escambia County has now reported 3 cases of Vibrio vulnificus, the flesh-eating bacteria, so far this year. That contributes to a total of 25 cases statewide. One Pensacola woman nearly lost her leg after contracting the infection while swimming in the Santa Rosa Sound in July. The Florida Department of Health has confirmed 5 deaths from the bacteria across the state this year. Health officials say local cases align with historical averages. The FDOH is asking residents to just be cautious as the infection can be contracted through eating raw seafood or exposure of open wounds to warm seawater. Escambia County deputies searching for a driver that crashed into a home on Marseille Drive over the weekend. That happened Saturday night. Deputies had attempted a traffic stop on the vehicle on Michigan Avenue, but say the driver fled. That's when deputies slowed down and followed without their emergency lights on. A deputy saw the vehicle hit the curb and smash into a home on the 4500 block of Marseille. The driver then fled on foot. The vehicle reportedly broke through the brick front wall of the house. Drone and canine units assisted in the search. A cantonment man facing a felony charge after allegedly firing his gun at a gas station last week. 30-year-old Anthony Purifoy Jr. is charged with battery, robbery, and weapons offenses. According to a report, the incident began as an argument between Purifoy and his ex-girlfriend at the Valero station on South Highway 29, August 30th. The woman said Purifoy snatched money from her and the glasses off of her face, then fired his gun into the air as she got into the vehicle with her family. Deputies said they found him hiding in some nearby woods. He was arrested and has since been released on $40,000 bond. The Mobile-based Austal Shipbuilders have been awarded $314 million in contract options from the Coast Guard. According to Austal, that funding will allow the company to purchase longtime lead materials for the construction of offshore patrol cutters. Construction is already underway on two of those cutters at the Mobile shipyard. It is 7:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. If you're on I-10 eastbound, right around the Highway 29 construction zone area, you're going to see about a 7 to 9 minute delay. Also, Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, we're seeing some congestion delays there as you approach the 9 mile scenic highway split off right there. So be prepared for that. Also, Highway 29 southbound approaching East 10 Mile Road is seeing some major slowdowns there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with just a small 10% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. For Tuesday, 30% chance of rain, high near 87. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Going into Wednesday, 10% chance of rain, high near 88. And by Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 77. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. We've got 67 degrees, partly cloudy this morning. Our next news at 8 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Some breaking news for you. Howard Stern, the popular radio host who signed a blockbuster multi-million dollar contract for Sirius XM almost two decades ago, has abruptly left the company. Stern did not appear on the channel earlier this morning, with Andy Cohen replacing him. Chinese humanoid startup X Square Robot announced it has secured around $100 million in a funding round led by Alibaba Cloud. Chief Operating Officer Yang Qian said the startup has been generating some revenue from sales to schools, hotels, and retirement homes. Revelio Labs reports that postings for entry-level jobs in the U.S. overall have declined about 35% since January of 2023. Job losses among 16 to 24-year-olds are rising as the U.S. labor market hits its roughest patch since the pandemic. Data also suggests that AI will wipe out many entry-level roles completely. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
Hey, Northwest Florida, Dave Ramsey here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. So, if you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768. They've been trusted members of the community for over 30 years. And remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. And be sure and tell them that Dave Ramsey sent you.
Ready to level up your future?
George Stone Technical College trains students for real-world careers, fast. From welding to healthcare, IT to public safety, their hands-on programs get you job-ready in months, not years. And yes, financial aid and grant opportunities are available for all students. Affordable, local, career-focused, visit georgestonecollege.edu. That's georgestonecollege.edu and take the first step today. You can change your life at George Stone.
Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care tomorrow at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans.
This is a Democrat hoax that never ends. You know, it reminds me a little of the Kennedy situation. We gave him everything over and over again, more and more and more. And nobody's ever satisfied. From what I understand, I could check, but from what I understand, thousands of pages of documents have been given. But it's really a Democrat hoax, because they're trying to get people to talk about something that's totally irrelevant to the success that we've had as a nation since I've been president.
So the president continues to maintain that there's nothing to see here. Move along. He said the Department of Justice has done their job thoroughly. There's no reason to release any more of the documents. They've already released all of them. I don't agree with any of that. And as I've told you many times, this is not my issue, but I watched the press conference with the victims and I don't understand where my party's at on this. And so we'll talk to Jimmy Patronis. He is a member of my party. He is our congressman from Northwest Florida, District 1. Congressman Jimmy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, let's start. Absolutely. Let's start with this one just because I think it's maybe the more challenging one. But if they do get a motion, do you plan to vote for this motion to release the documents? What's your position on the Epstein files?
Look, if there's something that creates transparency to make all this crazy dead pedophile issue go away, I'm fine to vote for it to just make it go away. If that means releasing it, what have you, I'm fine with it. But it's just it's all consuming. And I hate that we've got a dead pedophile that is literally controlling the agenda of the United States Congress right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. What I can't explain is I can't explain why he's reluctant. I mean, you know, of course, the critics will speculate all the worst things, and I don't want to speculate. I just am baffled by it. But I'm with you, too. I want it to go away, but I also want to teach a lesson. You know, I want all the other abusers, I want all of the other victims to hear the right things. I want the abusers to be terrified, and I want the victims to be vindicated and heard and validated. And, you know, like you say,
this guy was arguably, if he wasn't a billionaire, he'd probably close to it. I mean, I'm hoping if all these victims, I hope they're at least filing suit against his estate. I mean, there's other ways that they can try to at least work on making themselves whole. Again, whatever documentation that we've got, I know there was 33,000 pages that was dumped into the public domain last week, or at least pointed out where people could find it. I just want actual work. I just like working, and this definitely puts us in paralysis.
And I know a lot of times when we have you on, a lot of what we talk about is what President Trump is doing. Of course, you know, the premise is you're our closest guy. You know, you're in D.C.
Sure.
I'm mystified by the Department of War thing. I don't mind the name change. It's not a name. I like the old name. I thought it was a good name. I just don't understand why we'd spend, maybe $2 billion for new pens and stationery and letterhead and nameplates and not go through Congress, which is kind of how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah, so I was with the president Friday night. We talked about it. He had a group of us at the White House. There's probably about 15 of us. We were in the cabinet room, and he was asking us, he says, all right, so what do you think of it? You know, and I mean, the consensus is, look, if the guy's asking a question on the decision he's already made, you know, you're all going to be there in support of his idea. But, you know, now the next step is, all right, legislative action to move forward, and so there's some senators there, and is there 60 votes to do it? Well, you can't get 60 votes to do anything in the Senate. So, I mean, yeah, look, I think he's definitely trying to send a message. I don't think we're going to go out and declare war on anybody. But I think, you know, as the president was pointing out, he says, you know, when we were the Department of War, we were winning wars. You know, ever since World War II, we changed it. You know, the outcomes have been less than victorious. I mean, they've been pretty much, there have been messy, long, drawn-out conflicts. So, you know, I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze. I think I've got bigger things I like to fight for. If this is what the president wants, I'm good with it.
I also think it's just as an aside, it's kind of a weird, we're rebranding as war, and yet he's using the military, at least the National Guard, for domestic policing, which is very much not war. But then he sends this weird truth where he's got the Chipocalypse Now, and we're going to show him what the Department of War means. It's just, we're in a weird spot.
I think that's part of what I think anybody is totally in their rights to do is on the weekend they can post, you know, things that could be a little more entertaining on social media.
Locally in Florida, you, of course, are well familiar with the fact that Joe Latipo, a Surgeon General, and, you know, by participation, of course, the governor, are now advocating for repealing all of the vaccine mandates that are not required by Florida statute. And it's not clear to me yet, but maybe all of the vaccine mandates, including things like measles, mumps, rubella, polio, diphtheria, tetanus. I am completely baffled by this. I understand that some are controversial, some are unproven, and some are decades of public health value, and I don't understand the position. I know the president even has said this, kind of has come back on the other direction on this. Whoa, that's kind of, I'm not sure about all that. What are your thoughts?
Right. So I think with what we've seen happen with the pharmaceutical industry, the cost of drugs, PBMs, there's all these cost drivers out there that really make it easy to hate on the pharmaceutical companies. So now you've put out there a COVID epidemic that we went through. People became very skeptical. Does this thing save me or not? Then you've got those that had heart issues, all these others. So to me, the pharmaceutical industry is a real easy target right to pick a fight with. And now you've got something that is being mandated that we do to our kids. So I think, you know, it's worth having the debate. I do think if you probably have a spike in measles, mumps, any of these things, I haven't looked at the data to see if there's been any irregularities with the type of encounter data, then, you know, then they make a very clear argument of their value, at least for public health and welfare. But, you know, like, I got all my shots. I feel normal. you know, my kids got all their shots. They're normal.
Right.
I do think there's a certain amount of conspiracy feeding into this. And it's a populist issue. I think there's those that truly believe it, and there's some that are just politicians out there trying to score points.
Yeah, and the surveys seem to indicate that about 80% of Floridians believe in mandatory vaccines for school access for kids, and only about 20% are with Joe Latipo. And that, I mean, that tracks with me, that there would only be about that percentage.
Yeah, and look, my wife had anxiety when we had our boys' shots. So then, you know, when I would take the boys to the doctor for the wellness shots, I would ask, so do we need to announce him again later? Doctor, no, you can get him later. So we kicked some of the shots down the road and didn't give them their shots all at once, like, you know, sometimes maybe a little easier to do.
Yeah.
Did that make a difference? I don't know, but it made my wife and I feel a little more content. At least we had a decision in some of the mandatory health requirements for our kids.
Yeah, a little peace of mind, right? I sympathize with that for sure. We're talking to Jimmy Petronas. He's our congressman for District 1. Jimmy, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you're on I-10 eastbound between Nine Mile and Highway 29, we're seeing about a 12 to 15 minute delay through that construction zone. But other than that, we're good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Jimmy Patronis. I've been very curious to hear from people who know more about it than I do. The proposal to have an Ocala National Forest designation that would sweep up a bunch of kind of smaller parks in the Central Florida area. You know, we don't go down there, but it seems like a large area. If it preserves springs, I guess, then I'm sort of in favor of it, but I'm worried about taking land out of public. I don't know. Jimmy, you have, I know as a former CFO, I'm sure you have thoughts about this, and I'm curious.
Yeah, look, when I was on the cabinet, you know, we're trustee of overall state lands. And the one criticism that I've always had about the state of Florida, and these are noble ideas whenever we do land acquisition, but one thing the state of Florida never does, we never put enough money into maintaining the lands. We never give enough public access. So my idea, we're going to take all this stuff. In this case, it's already off the tax rolls. But if we're going to give it a whole new layer of designation, it needs the resources. But by gosh, this is now under public trust, arguably, in some cases, if it's new acquisitions, it's going to take properties off the tax rolls. So now there's going to be a change in the cost of living. It may be incremental, but just put aside the resources and a thoughtful budget to make sure the public can truly enjoy them. Roads, trails, hiking, all that should be, and especially where you have large swaths of land, hunting needs to be available, fishing needs to be available, but it's not always the case. So that's kind of like my prerequisite. The other thing you got to be sensitive to when you think about how large that area is, you're probably going to see some growth over the next few decades when it comes to traffic. You need to make sure you've taken into consideration you might need some easements in order to expand roads or create an overpass or for retention. And sometimes those can be, you know, permitting nightmares even for the government against the government.
Yeah, you know, it's a great point about how if we take land out and then it's never available for the public to use, that's just a loss for everybody. You can't develop it. You know, you can't do anything. And I even think about some of these national forests where, you know, I remember a couple of years ago we were in the concern about how do we even maintain access to them. And, you know, the access isn't even available because I love like old Florida. We are big fans of the springs and the rivers and going around and paddleboarding and looking at stuff. And, you know, if it preserves more of that so that we can enjoy what's always made Florida what it is, great. But if you don't, you know, provide for it to be able to be used, or as you say, make for, you know, thoughtful consideration of how that land might be valuable in other ways in the future, then, you know, that makes me skittish.
I mean, yeah, once you lock it up in that box, I mean, good luck getting it out to make any type of changes right. That give people other quality of life related issues. Like I said, the biggest thing is potential growth in those areas, and you might need a little extra right-of-way for roads or highways, or and sometimes that means, you know, other environmental permitting requirements. So.
I have not asked you about this, but I don't think I've asked you about this yet since you've been in office. But
you need a drum beat.
Daylight savings time. There was an interesting article in USA Today talking about the efforts in all the states and in Congress. Of course, Florida was the first to pass the bill to make it permanent daylight time in Florida. That requires Congress's consent. We can do it on our own if we make it permanent standard time. Matt would just never take up this bill. It needs a House sponsor. It's got both senators, or at least it had both senators. I don't know if Ashley Moody's on board in the Senate still. Are you going to take this up? Is this your issue? Have you been thinking about this at all?
Look, I would love to be in one time zone. But you know, I know Senator Scott had taken up the bill at one time. I've not gotten the latest on it. And I've always been an advocate, you know, pick one time and let's live in it. I do think there's a certain amount of quirkiness that I do like, because the central time zone to me has always been a part of the state that has been forgotten about. And sometimes it's okay to be forgotten about.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jimmy, I'm sorry. I just want to, this isn't about eliminating the central time zone. This is about getting rid of the changing of the times from daylight to standard.
Time.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I maybe miscommunicated.
I think both issues, just as easy as I got confused on where you were going with this, so does the public.
Yeah, they do.
The spring forward, fall back, yeah, I'm done with that. I've been done with that for a long time. But, you know, I would not want to you know, rechange any of the boundary lines when it comes to daylight. I mean, the Central Time Zone.
Last thing that I'm going to ask you about is a serious thing that I did not even realize was happening, a law enforcement thing. I guess people are scamming by claiming that there's arrest warrants out for people from the FBI. Is that right?
Holy cow. I was in my office. I was in a meeting, and one of my guys comes in the office and says, he's got on speakerphone, an unknown number is, and the guy's incredibly official sounding, has it scripted down, was talking to my employee in a very understanding and compassionate way, but was a threat, sent them a document. If you go, we've got it on our Twitter file, our Twitter post, but sent him a document via text, which was an official looking document where it was basically going to go bond yourself out because of a civil proceedings that you were, so you wouldn't go to jail. Now I don't know how you would go to jail under civil proceedings, but this guy, I mean, they kind of worked it in enough areas of gray where if you weren't paying attention, you could be taken advantage of, but their delivery was so genuine.
Yeah.
Cause most people are not lawbreakers. Okay. So bye bye. See you.
Your son going to school, I assume, right?
Yeah, I'm about to be right out the door with him. But it was super concerning. So just guys, look, you know, whenever you get a call from an unknown number, just disregard it. It was as soon as Jack hung up, I bet you they called him 15 times afterwards, wearing him out because they knew that he was, about to walk away from the circumstances.
We had another one here locally. There's a scam running around in Santa Rosa County where people are getting a phone call, and it's basically the same thing, except that it's real names of real people that work at the county, and they sound super official and super persistent. And it's crazy, some of this stuff that people are going through. Yeah.
I mean, we've got so much of our personal information out in the public domain. I mean, it doesn't take much for somebody. This is why title theft and all these other transactions are so concerning. Because all of our information is out in the public domain. With all these data breaches that you've had over the last 15 years, I mean, basically they've put a pretty good dossier of who you are, where you live, and your contact information. All you got to do, if you haven't done it, just go Google your own name and see
scary.
What comes up. You might
no, super scary. All right, two quick things. We're totally out of time, but two quick things I want to get you to weigh in on. One is Mockingbird, Scrub Jay, or Flamingo? Which one
Flamingo,
is Flamingo?
All day long.
All right.
Get rid of those others. It's so stupid. Flamingo. When you see Florida, you think of flamingo.
You do. And then the last thing, it is Star Trek Day, and we were having this discussion in office where John, my producer, and my news guy cannot make the Vulcan V with their fingers, and I think all normal human beings
can. Of course
I can. Of course. Thank you.
I'm doing it right now. You're on the phone. I'm a trucker.
Nice.
Big time. You ask my wife. I mean, it's usually what I'm falling asleep to. I miss the series.
I love it.
Yeah, William Shatner. He's in his 90s. He was almost the same age as my dad.
Oh man. Okay. No, that's sobering. Okay.
Don't get me started.
You can do it. That's all I wanted to know is you can do it. I appreciate that. Jimmy Patron is our congressman for Florida District Northwest Florida District 1. Sir, we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
See you, buddy. Thanks.
756, John Pickens, who cannot do the Vulcan V with his fingers, has traffic on the fives.
That's right, but I can do traffic for you.
Fair enough. That's all I need.
All right, we've got an accident that happened at Davis Highway and University Parkway. We're seeing some minor delays in that area. But speaking of delays, if you are on, let's see here, where did it go? See these computers, we love them. Highway 90 heading into Pensacola. Traffic is backed up for about 10 to 12 minute delay there. Also, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, seeing some major delays. Also on 98 westbound approaching the Garcon Point Bridge, I'm seeing about a 7 to 9 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Down, set, hut. We're kicking off for the season at Sonny's Barbecue. Whether you're tailgating at the big game or sharing a meal with friends, it's always Sonny's. Enjoy the new fall menu with Maple Barbecue Smoked Turkey Club or Maple Barbecue Pork Burn-Ins. How about some sweet potato waffle fries or even our new pecan pie egg rolls? And don't forget the platter of slow-smoked chicken wings. Come see us at Sonny's with four locations in the News Radio area. Pace, 9th Avenue, Navy Boulevard, and Pine Forest. And remember, it's always Sunny's here.
Bands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority and happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion. You are invited to bring a blanket and a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, check out Count the Years. They're a high-energy cover band that takes audiences on a musical journey through the decades, from synthesized 80s to today's chart toppers. It's all happening at Bands on the Beach. You'll be dancing and singing along all night. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm happy that you're happy, but the place where you're supposed to have the toilet paper, you got this little shelf with three seashells on it.
He doesn't know how to use the three seashells.
Nobody knows how to use them.
I know, I love it.
Oh my, Captain Kirk is 94.
I cannot believe
that. William Shatner's pretty good for 94.
Not bad at all.
Right. Here on Star Trek Day. Man, I did not realize. All right, David Wayne, you got time for a headline for me, sir?
Sure. 94 and still touring. He was right at the Sanger not long ago.
I would put, I mean, if you just look at him and listen to him, you'd say 70, 75? Absolutely. I mean, I knew he was had to be 80 plus, yeah, but
very
94.
Good for the age. Quick headline for you. House Task Force on Government Transparency planning to hold a hearing tomorrow on UFOs. The chair of the Task Force of Declassification of Federal Secrets issued a statement saying the American people deserve
local news every hour and break.